So Wendy.
Holy.
It's all yours.
Thank you. I'm Wendy. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Wendy.
And I'm fairly new to OA. I attended my first meeting May 10th of 2011, 8 months ago. I don't know, I'm just trying to think back of what manifested for me to attend a meeting. I think I was looking for just a group, a free group setting that I could show up. I just didn't want to be alone on my birthday that day. And I'm full-time caregiver for my mother, who's in the end stages of Alzheimer's. And so I have a lot of solitary confinement. And in those 3 years of solitary confinement, God just put a lot of things right in my face. Moving back to the house that I grew up in Lakewood, brought up a lot of family issues, a lot of triggers. Spiraled me back into some old destructive behaviors. And one of them that I had no idea that I had was my compulsive eating. And so I don't really remember how I got on the website, but I found the addresses, and one was just like a couple blocks away from my house at the Mile High Church on Alameda, and that was the day I showed up. And it was very crowded. I was quite nervous. I wasn't sure how all these meetings went. I just thought I'd just show up. I had been to a couple of AA meetings with a friend of mine, and so I kind of knew the structure of how things went. So I knew that if I didn't want to share, I could just kind of sit back and observe. And so I did. I went and right into that, boy, 10 days of abstinence, and then boom, that was it for a while. And then I have a week here, and then not, and then 30 days, and then not. And but I think that first 10 days, I thought I had it in the bag. I thought, oh, one meeting, I'm healed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The more I went to meetings, I think it just really started opening up a lot of issues for me, a lot of things that I've thought I'd handled and taken care of. It wasn't until I got a hold of the workbook, the 12-step workbook, that I really started peeling the onion. And it was very cleansing, and it's been very healing and very hopeful for me. And so tonight, I don't know really where to start. Sometimes I didn't want to start rambling and going off rabbit trails and trying to find my way back and then try to find, time to how to land the plane once you get that going. So I decided to pull some things out of the journal that I had been writing in this last year, and hoping that some of my my scars and some of my struggles will give you inspiration and some hope, and then also give you some insight to kind of where I am with what I've written in my journals. I write kind of differently in my journals. I meditate on the word and then just leave God a space in my meditation time to speak with me and to tell me what I need to hear that day and lessons I need to learn. And what I'll do is I'll just start writing and allow that Holy Spirit just to write me a letter and write me information that I need to know, or a lesson I need to know, or things I need to work on. And then I'll read them back to myself. And so that's kind of how my journals go. So that's kind of where I'm coming from when I read some of these things to you. And it's hard because I don't normally open up. And so I perform, and I'm very comfortable on a stage, and I used to do motivational speaking. And so having to be a little more real is definitely, got me sweating. Got me sweating here. It's either that or a hot flash. I'm not quite sure yet. So anyway, I'll open up with that. And as I share, I hope it inspires you. The story begins when Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree in the garden. And they found themselves in a position of knowing what was good and evil about themselves and about the world. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to Adam and said to them, Adam, where are you? Adam replied, I heard the sound of you walking in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God asked, who told you you were naked? There was a time in my life when the size of my thighs or the shape of my nose, the color of my hair didn't matter. I was free to laugh or cry, have temper tantrums, and go back to playing and enjoying everything about my life. There wasn't anything shameful about myself or my body. I swam naked with my friends and brothers in the little pool in our yard. I felt safe and secure. There was nothing wrong with me being me. I was enough, just as I was. I didn't know shame or disgrace. Then sin came, the predator and his compulsive behavior. His actions not only tore my body, but also planted seeds of reproach that exposed my nakedness. Betrayed and decepted by the very ones who were to protect me. Other experiences and rejections also taught me to cover up, repress, and hide. Shame first came by the sin of others, and then by the sins of my own compulsive behavior and twisted thinking. I spent a lifetime trying to fix that which was broken and find a cure that will bring me back to the innocence and wholeness I once had. But here's the rub. If I could fix that which I believe is broken, then what will I be left with? I'll have to face the realities of a sin-sick world. I'll have no excuses not to participate. I'll be responsible for my actions. I'll no longer have the disease to blame. Have I gotten used to this cloak of shame? Has it been my excuse, my reason to escape and avoid? Have I been wedded to my disease so long I can't imagine life without it? It's like being in an abusive relationship where the abuse becomes normal and normal becomes a fantasy for only those good girls and boys, but not for the damaged or betrayed. Innocence and wholeness returns when I dare to explore who I am with tenderness and love. My compulsive behavior will stop when I stop trying to fix what I believe is broken with the things of this world. When I believe in myself more than food, I will stop using food as if it were my only chance of not falling apart. Truth, not force, does the work of ending my compulsive eating. Awareness, not deprivation, informs me what I need to eat. Presence, not shame, changes how I see myself and what I rely on. When I stop struggling and pushing and shaming myself around food and my body, when I stop manipulating and controlling, when I actually relax and listen to the truth of what is there, something far bigger than my fear will catch me. I will learn to trust something infinitely more powerful than a set of rules I have made to protect myself. I find my true self and find her beauty and innocence are more than enough and worthy of love, tenderness, and joy. I find I can stand naked before God and myself and rejoice, for I have been fearfully, wonderfully made. The 12 steps have been doors to be opened and an invitation to explore and find real wisdom and true beauty that has been waiting to be released. It's been there all along if one has the courage to seek. My toxic memories and past experience remind me of how awful feelings can be and convince me that I am too weak to be trusted to express them appropriately. So I avoid and I stuff them down. Yet avoidance always leads to obsession. Inquiry requires me to stay connected and give the knot in my stomach and the compression in my chest some room to move. Inquiry doesn't reveal the answers, but it's a willingness to explore. It is fueled by love and wanting to know who I am when I'm not ruled by my past. When I invoke curiosity and openness without judgment, I align myself with the beauty, delight, and love. I become the benevolence of God in action. If I don't allow the feelings to begin, I don't allow them to end. Emotions will run out of energy when I'm allowed to move and yet tend to build in strength when I put them in storage. Inquiry exposes the things that keep me married to my past and the abnormal. When I began exploring years ago, a spiritually inspired counselor asked how long I had been depressed. I told her I wasn't depressed, and she brought out a pamphlet with 10 questions regarding depression. I answered yes to 9 of them. I had been living with depression so long it felt normal. I had come to believe that living in constant suspense and anxiety was all I could expect. But once I read the description of the compulsive eater, I knew I was a compulsive eater. Yet prior to the revelation, I just believed I was something to be tortured and annihilated in submission, that I was a weak-willed victim of my circumstance. But divorcing this disease will also mean giving up the excuses for not participating in my life. When I realized I had chronic depression and general anxiety disorder, I became responsible for the change. For with knowledge comes responsibility and actions. Excuses become invalid. The awareness of my disease makes me accountable for the destruction of myself and all the harm I do to others. My relationship to disease will continue to cause unrest and destructive decisions until I commit to divorcing it. Divorce comes with a price and with pain, yet there is recovery and support along the way. Just as I divorced depression and anxiety, I now believe I can divorce compulsive eating and become an active participant in who I become. Feelings and circumstances become manageable when I stop avoiding and in loving compassion inquire and explore the wonder within. Compulsive eating is what I have done, but it does not define who I am. Though my parents were emotionally constipated, unaffectionate, and unavoidable, and unavailable, it does not excuse me from learning how to express emotions appropriately, being affectionate and available to others. Though I have been a victim of rape, it does not excuse me from overcoming trust issues, loving God and myself just as I am. Though I have been a victim and a volunteer of domestic abuse and violence, it does not give me an excuse not to protect myself and others from destructive behaviors and learn to avoid manipulators and predators. Though I have been rejected, betrayed, lied to, judged, criticized, manipulated, accused, and abused, it never gives me an excuse to do the same to others. And though I may believe I have a reason to behave badly, it should never become my excuse to behave badly. I may think I have a reason to overeat, obsess, or avoid, but it should never become my excuse to act compulsively. My obsession with food begins with my avoidance of God. I've been told all my life what foods are good and bad. If I eat only the good foods, life will be good, and I will also be good, accepted, and loved. Yet I felt bad. I was damaged by the abuse and the rejection of those who were to love and protect me. I was a bad girl. I didn't deserve good food. I needed to be punished, my body tortured, starved of what it desired. My value came in a bag of snacks that were considered junk and even forbidden. By collapsing the whole of myself and my desires into something as tangible as a stale cookie, I forbid the beauty, the miracle, and sacredness from coming into existence, and resigned myself to living with my heart nailed shut. The statement of, "You are what you eat," takes on a whole new meaning, for then it exposes who I believe myself to be, cheap, fast, easy, and junk. By removing these labels of good and evil from food, I can be free to remove the labels of old beliefs of myself. I can choose kindness over a cookie. Mercy and compassion does not come in a bag or a box. It comes in loving myself as much as the one who created me, unconditionally, without reproach, just as I am. God will lead us to love, for wholeness does not bring me to God. It is God who brings me to wholeness. Good food doesn't make me a good person any more than bad food makes me bad. Yet it is love and compassion, mercy and kindness that leads me to care for myself and nurture my body with the things that bring wellness and joy, peace and righteousness. When I allow myself to love and be loved, my obsession with food diminishes. The emptiness I was trying to fill is now full with something eternal, everlasting, and unending. God is the way to truth and life. He will prove himself. We need only be willing to accept the thing we cannot change. I am powerless over food, and my life is unmanageable. This is not a statement of defeat, yet a confession and an agreement, and a willingness to allow something far bigger than myself bring me to wholeness. I can finally release the lies I tell myself, refuse the foolish wisdom of this world, and place my whole being, body, soul, and spirit, into the hands of one who designed me. There I find balance and security. Life begins to make sense, and fears fade. Love, not fear, will give me the courage to change the things I can, and serenity is granted when I accept which I cannot change, and that is the unchangeable, unshakable love of God. I am grateful for the opportunity to share a small part of my eternal story with you tonight. I ask God for one profound thought or idea that I could leave you with. And through my spirit, he said, "Tell them I love them." I loved them yesterday, I love them today, and I'll love you tomorrow and forever. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. You are unique and crafted by His own hands. There is no normal, for normal does not exist. The way you think and speak, dance, sing, relate, and respond is your own unique signature, not to be compared or judged, abused, or made to feel discounted. You are who you are for a reason. You are not a mistake or something to be fixed. You were created to love and be loved. You are no surprise to God. He knew what He was getting when He called you to Himself. Trust Him to lead you to wholeness. Rely on His wisdom to direct the way you should go. And relax. You are right where you need to be. And when you are ready for the next lesson, the Master will reveal everything you need to know. You are loved by God. You are loved by me. All you need will be provided. Everything you know or need to know will be revealed. Accept that which you cannot change, and that is the perfect love of God. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.